We begin with Chapel Hill police, who made an arrest on Friday in the shooting that took place last week on Ashley Forest Road. Kamani Eason of Charlotte faces numerous charges, including assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill and motor vehicle larceny. He's being held without bond in Wake County Detention Center. The victim of the shooting, 25-year-old Elijah Smith, remains in the hospital with life-threatening injuries. Over now to Eflin, where Orange County held a groundbreaking ceremony last week for a new EMS station, which will be the first standalone station in the county, and officials say a major boost for rural service. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell was there.
Gosh, in various different ways, we've been out at the station since, I would say, the mid-80s. I was just telling Chastity, you're going to be shocked when you see it. But when I was stationed out here, it was even a little bit more outdated.
Kim Woodward, the EMS division chief for Orange County, walks toward the current Station 4, not far from I-40 and 85. If you're driving by, you might not notice it's an emergency services facility, save for the ambulance parked out front. Woodward says the lone ambulance must park outside because it won't fit into the garage. The lone room in the building, approximately the same size as the garage space, features two small cots, a kitchen, a table Woodward says was there when she started, and some chairs for the EMS workers on call.
This is it. So our folks are working 24/72 shifts, so they do at night, they get downtime, so they do rest in the bed.
Just 30 minutes ago, less than a mile away, the county government officially broke ground on a new Orange County EMS Station 4 building. Located off U.S. Highway 70, the local government purchased the property in 2019 and is building a new facility from the ground up, which Woodward says will make a major difference.
It will be night and day. It won't be the same at all. It will be us moving into a very functional, clean, spacious, comfortable living environment that has safety features.
Woodward said a major drawback for the current EMS station in Eflin is no space to properly decontaminate when responders come from emergencies. There is no shower, leaving the EMTs to head to other stations in the county to clean up before heading back to Station 4. Kirby Saunders, the Director of Emergency Services in Orange County, spoke at the groundbreaking ceremony and shared some additional changes. EMTs and paramedics will have amenities meant to reduce some of the stressors from being on call, like private bunking rooms or ramp alerting.
So at night when the call comes in, instead of all the bright lights coming on and big loud sounds, they will ramp up and slowly wake them up. We have plenty of research to show that startling someone awake in the middle of the night causes heart stress and leads to heart attacks and heart problems and reduces their lifespan. And so this job is stressful enough. The last thing we want to do is add any physiological stressors on their bodies. And so we're including those features in here as well. That's an opportunity we haven't had before.
Saunders said the project will also be one of the most eco-friendly county facilities. The building, which will also include a new medical examiner's office, will use solar power as a secondary source of electricity and will be built for resiliency against environmental changes. Another way the updated station looks to the future is serving the Eflin community. While the unincorporated part of Orange County is an area slower to the pace of development, many signs indicate it will be next for growth as the county's towns expand further. Saunders said a bigger, better station in the community now makes sense, not only while projecting changes, but addressing an immediate need of improved service.
We know it's been historically underserved for many years, and this is a really giant step forward in the right direction. And we know this area of our community just off of the interstate is likely to grow and expand. And so we feel like this is a very strategic move to put us in the right location to ensure that we are here to meet those demands in the future when residents need them.
Saunders said he feels grateful for the county government's recent focus of not only finding a new spot for EMS Station 4, but providing the resources to create a better space for the county's EMS teams.
The commissioners have certainly afforded us the opportunity to design this new station with comforts that will make their work experience much better, and they're truly a home away from home for them.
The local government projects construction of the new Orange County EMS station will be completed in fall 2023. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Over now to campus, where UNC has reached a legal settlement with Nicole Hannah Jones a year after the controversy surrounding her tenure consideration. Board of Trustees Chair Dave Bullock said the settlement was reached to avoid potential legal action, direct quote there, and it amounted to less than $75,000. Also on campus, a longtime academic institution is celebrating a major milestone this year. The UNC Press is marking its 100th anniversary. Founded in 1922, the UNC Press is the oldest academic publishing house in the American South and one of the oldest in the nation. I spoke last week with John Scherer, who's been the director of the UNC Press for the last 10 years. Here he is talking about some of the high points of their long history.
You start at the top in terms of sales, and our best-selling book is Mama Dip's Kitchen. And so I don't think there's anybody in Chapel Hill who isn't aware of Mama Dip's Kitchen. It became a bestseller because she got on QVC, which is not something we expected when we acquired the book. And in fact, I wasn't here when the book was acquired, but I think there were sort of modest expectations. There was also the idea that, you know, it's a soul food restaurant, and there were not a lot of cookbooks about soul food restaurants. And in fact, I think there was a perception among commercial publishers that soul food wasn't really a genre that lent itself to cookbooks. And so one of the things the press was doing, and one of the things that we've done historically throughout our 100 years, is make sure we're giving voice to people that commercial publishers don't always represent well.
This is the same story about Julia Child, right? Like, oh, French cooking, it'll never work. Never.
That's right. Publishing is so funny. We rely on, you know, we want trends to drive everything, and then we also want everything to be completely unique. We can't ever make up our mind in publishing.
What are you working on today?
Oh, right now we are focused on, it's funny, our timelines go pretty far out. Next week we're going to launch our spring 23 books, but we're also feverishly working on the books that we're publishing this fall. We've got a couple great biographies, a biography of Shirley Chisholm, who was the first woman to run for president. A biography of C. Vann Woodward is coming out, who was a major historian of the U.S. and the South. A big new history of the South, edited collection by UNC professor Fitz Brundage.
All the books that UNC Press has published over the years, do you have a favorite or one that you're proudest of?
I'm not going to fall for that. No, different books have different moments in your life, mm-hmm. and different things. You know, right now, the book that I've been talking about a lot is a book that we actually published, if you can believe this, in the 1940s. And it was a book called Capitalism and Slavery, which is a very serious look at how the slave trade essentially financed the Industrial Revolution, which built our modern world. It was authored by a guy named Eric Williams, who was actually the prime minister of Trinidad and Tobago. This was one of the first books by a person of color economist making this argument that essentially that the slave trade funded the modern world.
That's John Scherer speaking there. You can visit our website, chapelboro.com, to listen to the full conversation and read a transcript. And for more information, visit uncpress.org. Finally, in state news, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services has opened up a new 3-digit hotline for anyone who's experiencing a mental health crisis or thoughts of suicide. If you're in crisis, you can now dial 988 anytime to reach the National Suicide Prevention Hotline and get connected to trained staff who can help. Visit our website, chapelboro.com, for more news, including the latest from the Chatham News and Record on how the county's future growth could be a boon for local small businesses. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Bold Construction. UNC basketball has released its non-conference schedule for the upcoming season as the Tar Heels look to build on last year's trip to the NCAA final. Carolina season will begin with an exhibition at home on October 28th against Johnson C. Smith, and then the season opener will be November 7th in the Smith Center against UNCW. Other home games in November include College of Charleston, Gardner-Webb, and James Madison before the Heels head to Portland for the Phil Knight Invitational over Thanksgiving. Then it's up to Indiana for the ACC Big Ten Challenge against the Hoosiers on November 30th before a very light December that includes only 3 games, including a home game against the Citadel plus 2 neutral site invitationals with opponents yet to be determined. Get a link to the full schedule on our website, chapelboro.com. The upcoming season is a much anticipated one for UNC men's basketball and also for UNC women's basketball, with freshman Paulina Paris coming in and sophomores Kayla McPherson and Tiani Key both back from injuries that kept them out all last season. Will it be like having 3 freshmen on the roster? Head coach Courtney Banghart says no.
Yeah, Tiani and Kayla have been in our fold, in our locker room, on our travel trips, you know, in the scouts, at every session, lifting, you know, the whole thing. So they know their rhythm and routine, and that's the real benefit of being a redshirt, right? And so although they're very new to our fan base, we feel very much like they're sophomores. And so, you know, they're age-wise going to be the same in terms of career length as someone like a Paulina. But, Paulina's really the only one who doesn't have her routines yet, doesn't have her in that, you know, yet in college. So, no, it feels very much like we have one freshman.
That's Courtney Banghart speaking there. Elsewhere in sports, congrats to Tar Heel sophomore golfer David Ford, who won the Southern Amateur over the weekend in Georgia, and Tar Heel women's lacrosse star Brooklyn Walker-Welch, who won gold with Team Canada on Saturday in the World Lacrosse Sixes Games. Canada beat the U.S. 14-12 in the final. And in baseball, the Durham Bulls beat Gwinnett 4-0 yesterday to wrap up their road series with a 3-3 split. The Bulls have 4 days off now before they return home this Friday for a weekend series against Norfolk.